Lord, I bring this time to you, Lord God, that you are the teacher. I'm just a vessel. Your words are what is important, not my words. And I thank you, Lord, for this day we honor fathers, this day that we honor you as the perfect father. And I just pray, Lord God, that as I bring forth this message, that you would take charge, that you would be the one speaking, Lord, because you're the one that initiated fatherhood to begin with. And I just thank you and praise you this morning for your care, your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Righty. Well, as usual, my message is one that might take a few turns here and there, so hang on. Back in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, as a matter of fact, that's one that kind of collects some dust sometimes, but David was getting ready to become king, and Saul's reign as king, as the people considered it, more of a failure. So they wanted David to be king, and they were different men from different tribes were coming in and joining David in his army. Thousands of them. But in 1 Chronicles 12:32, this is from the NIV, from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all of their relatives under their command. You know, this is a test for any leader, any leader in any position to understand the times and to know what to do. It can be a key even for effective fathering, because a father is a leader of a family. And if you understand the times, then you know how to protect, provide, and get your family through hard times when hard times come. In 1776, that's back at the time of the American Revolution, there was it's a great struggle over our freedom. Freedom of religion, basically, is what it was about. Freedom to worship. And a man named Thomas Paine said, "These are the times that try men's souls." America has since gone through many ups and downs, and I think we could agree today that these are the times that try men's souls. Our country is not the country most of us grew up in. We need men and fathers, and we need leaders who understand the times and know what to do. So what's the answer to that? Well, we know we have many men or fathers who are AWOL, and we have a manhood crisis in this country. We were just talking about that this morning in the prayer room. A crisis of manhood. I had a video available. I could have shown you this morning. It was a man on the street interview, and they were asking men in this park that were walking through, you know, what's it mean to be a man? And, you know, most of them says, ask somebody else. They didn't want to even answer. There's a crisis in what the definition of being a godly man, which leads to a fatherhood crisis. I don't have to go into the statistics. Everybody knows it's pretty obvious that a lot of fathers are missing, which creates a further crisis. And then there's a leadership crisis. We have a leadership crisis in all levels now, sometimes even in the church. But God has better plans for his men. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, New American Standard, says, "If you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel." What Paul's saying there is you can have people that teach you, but that doesn't mean that they're in the role of a father, caring, mentoring, and trying to build the next generation. God's the only perfect father. Our Heavenly Father has given us a legacy. He has shown us the way through what Jesus did. And Jesus walked with his disciples. And, you know, it constantly amazes me that here's these fishermen and tax collectors and these guys that were kind of like on the bottom rung of the ladder of society. And Jesus come walking down the road, and they didn't know him. And he must have known them somehow, but he came walking down the road. He says, "Follow me." That's what he said. That was his invitation. And they gave up their means of support to follow him. They dropped their nets, their income. The tax collector got up from his tax collecting booth and followed Jesus. There was something about the presence that Jesus had that is pure leadership. So that was our legacy. That's the Father has given us the legacy, and he also promises as we walk out our lives, we build a legacy as we follow him. We influence the next generation. Where's Doug at? Dougie, get ready for the video, please. Thank you. So as we try to imitate our Father, Heavenly Father, we can build a legacy that endures through generations. We have a little 2-minute video here. I really kind of like.
What was Grandpa like whenever you were my age?
I don't know. He's like a dad.
Did Grandpa make you listen to this terrible music?
You mean, did he culture me? You bet he did.
Did Grandpa get lost too?
Sometimes. We're not lost.
Recalculating route to your destination. You will arrive in approximately 2 days, 3 hours.
What's your license insurance?
Did Grandpa have a lead foot too?
Amen.
Grandpa teach you to pray before every meal like that?
Yeah, for every meal.
Did Grandpa do that too?
Yeah.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you? I hope I'm like you whenever I grow up.
What's with all the lollygagging? I'm not paying you guys to sit around and look at pictures. Chop, chop! My stuff's not going to get to a condo on the golf course by itself.
Has Grandpa always been so bossy?
Always.
Is he actually banging us?
Not a chance.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you?
So there goes on building a legacy. So, but the fathers do have an amazing amount of influence on their children, and respect. A lot of times, we at our men's conference, we had a guy named Pastor Chaco from Chicago, one of the biggest churches around, in the Assembly of God Church, and he was saying one time. We had him in our men's conference twice, but he was saying the one time, as far as his kids go, he says they know that they're not the ones that rule the household. It's my house. You know, he's told his kids, my house, the room you're living in is not your room, it's my room. I'm letting you use it. And he says, I can let, you know, ask my son, he says, give me your phone. And he looks at it to see what they've been doing. And they accept that. Why? Because they know he's guiding them into the right path and protecting what could come in, could spoil their lives. Fathers teach more by example. You know, I wanted to wake Joe up here. And I just take a break. Donnie Wadding needs that. But anyhow, I like to have a little fun too, you know. Fathers teach more by example than by words. And that could be good or bad. Years ago, I mean, we haven't had a television for years, but years ago I remember a commercial where father and son are walking in the woods, you know, and the boy's kind of small. And they're, you know, beautiful scenery, you know, they're walking in the woods. And then they decide to take a break, and they sit down and lean against a tree. Father gets a cigarette out and lights it up. And he puts his cigarette pack down on the ground, and you see the young one kind of looking at it. And you know what the insinuation was, you know, that the father, if it's okay for him, why is it not okay for me? So you can go either way, good or bad. And that's something that I don't know whether the Lord spoke to me on it or just thinking about this message. But, you know, creating a child is actually a holy act, because all the father does is deposit this little microscopic seed. But you know how many children are so attached to their father through that little dinky, and whether they had a good father or a bad father, whether, you know, it's, if they had a good father, they adore him. If they had a bad father, they keep being concerned about him becoming what he should be. You hear movie stars or sports figures, and they do good, and they talk about their dad. I've heard positive and negative, you know, people who are successful is, my dad was a big influence, you know, that kind of a thing. So that just amazes me. And I had a friend who walked the streets of Ford City. He was a mailman. And he kept trying to, you know, help the kids that are on the streets, you know, befriend them and this stuff, and do, you know, become their buddy and everything. And he told me one time, he says, you know, you can be their buddy, you can have fun with them, you can teach them stuff, but you'll never be their dad. There's that little tiny microscopic seed that started the whole process. That's their father. That's where they came from. So even if a father's missing or not relating or caring to his family, his children, like I said, they long for him to be what he's supposed to be. So the desire for the father's heart follows people the whole way through adulthood. And it's an amazing thing that God has done. Understanding the times helps us build that legacy. There's a legacy to be built whenever you have a child. Fathers have the opportunity to do just that. And it's something, go to the difference between boys and girls here. Boys have a need to model themselves after their dad. And dad shaped the boys by being involved, you know, working with them, playing. And a father can validate a boy, or they can break their spirit. In one of the books I read, this was pretty interesting. I looked and looked for this book, and I can't find it. Probably one of the books I lent out and never got back. But there was a guy that had three sons, and he wrote it from a kind of a Midwestern, you know, out in the wilderness perspective. But he was saying about with his boys as they were growing up, he said he would go rock climbing with them. And he said, actually, I did that to keep them from climbing the refrigerator. But he spent a lot of time doing stuff like that. But one of the things he brought out was roughhousing with the boys. And, you know, that is kind of a struggle thing that sometimes kind of sets mom off, especially when you knock lamps over or something. But, you know, he brought it into the idea, if you look at nature, you look at the deer, and you see how the young bucks challenge the older buck till they see who wins, you know. And he was saying that's the same kind of a thing. You know, guys might be having fun and wrestling with their son, but actually what's going on is the young guy wants to prove he's big enough and, you know, strong enough. And he can be someday the top guy. He was saying that they wrestled around with his one son the one time, and the son actually finally beat him, and he said he gave him a bloody lip and everything. Dad's laying on the floor. And he said, he stood up and looked at me and shook his antlers at me. And but I can remember that, you know, I have experience with that. There's a young fellow over here that's trying not to look like me. And we used to dance around the living room, and I'd grab one knee and hold one leg off the ground until I could flop him onto the couch. And then we did that I don't know how many times. Then finally one day he got me off guard and off balance, and he's like, yes! Yeah, you know? I remember that. And back then, we just thought we were having fun, you know. But it was, and my dad always used to say, you know, somebody say, boy, your boys are getting big. And dad says, I can still knock them down. And one day somebody said something, and I says, well, dad can still knock us down. And dad says, I don't think so. So there has to be that progression in the male world, you know. So, but then there's girls. What about the girls? I remember whenever my first granddaughter was born, and she became a toddler, and she got this real nice little dress, and our daughter put the little dress on her. First thing she did, run out to the living room and start dancing in front of her dad. And my son-in-law, he only had brothers, you know, and he's looking at this, and he says, how long did it take you to teach her that? And our daughter says, you didn't teach her that. She's a girl. That's what they do. And I can remember my daughter doing the same thing. It's just automatic. So What a concept. Men and women are different from birth. Yeah. Thank you. So, a daughter needs a dad who will be the standard against which she will judge all men. Daddy takes daughter out on dates and shows her what it's like to be respected and cared for. So whenever she goes out on a date with some other guy and he starts disrespecting, well, you know, you're not like what I've been taught that a man should be, you know, that type of thing. So daddy-daughter dates reinforce that. And a lot of this stuff, some of it I did, some of it I didn't do, and some of it I realize now I should have done. You know, I wish I'd have known then what I know now. But talking about giving your daughter security, I skipped over one here. Proverbs 14:26 in the New Living Translation. Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. I like that verse. One of the most involved things about raising kids is summed up in Proverbs 22. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. A lot of times we take that as we drag them to church, and then they'll stay in church the rest of their lives, you know. But there's more than that. You know, God has put that in. He puts something in each person that's born, a plan for their lives. And the parents, once again, I wish I'd have known then what I know now, but because we could have started earlier, but the parents seek God on, okay, what's this little guy or what's this little girl? What's your plan for them, Lord? You know, because they made a lot of mistakes that parents make sometimes is, well, I always thought you ought to be a football player and you ought to go, you know, and you can't force your will on them. It's God's will we were after. And it is the most rewarding thing when you see them walk into that and flourish because they're doing what God designed them to do. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And by doing these things, we leave a legacy, but we also honor God. And that brings us to the word honor. You know, honor, we were talking about that in the prayer room this morning. Honor's a concept that our culture has lost. And so when we say we honor, what does that mean? How do we get the proper meaning of the word honor? How do we get that back? Because that's the first commandment with a promise is honor your father and mother. And I'll read it here because it's so important. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. So, that's a commandment with a promise. Children need to be taught honor. You know, it's not a natural thing. Pastor Robert Morris from the Gateway Church in Texas says, you know, we're all born the same way. We're looking at ourselves. This is mine. And so children need to be taught how to honor other people. And, you know, the Bible even says, consider one another more above yourselves. So if they see dad honoring the mother, what are they going to do? How are they going to honor? What are they going to do with mom? What are they going to do with whenever they get married? You know, if they see dad honoring his parents, what are they going to do whenever dad and mom get old and need care? If they see dad honoring mom's parents, it comes into the realm of showing them how to care for other people. And then, you know, the old saying, what goes around comes around. You know, whenever you're in the position, like my dad now, almost 91, and he needs us to care for him. So this will be all more important as we age. And that's not the reason to do it. The reason to do it is it's the right thing to do. So today we honor the fathers, but earthly fathers are not perfect and never will be. Surprise. Anybody surprised on that? Well, I'm not. We give God God the Father honor and praise this day, just for who He is, the Creator of all of us. So we all have a common Father. We honor Him for giving us His legacy and modeling fatherhood. So we can't say we don't have a roadmap. We can't say we don't know what to do. It's all written there for us. And we have the Holy Spirit, as was said earlier, in us. So my father taught us many things, especially honesty. Boy, did he teach me honesty. And, you know, some of the ways it was brought home was... And faithfulness by example. The thing that always sticks out to me. We are in a ministerium meeting. They have a, they always have like a icebreaker at the beginning. And Pastor Ralph from the Lutheran Church, when he was president, he says, okay, who was your hero? You know. And I had to say Dad. Because... The one thing that it really, really stuck out, that'll stick out to me forever, was when Mom's coffin was lowered into the ground and it finally came to rest and they started covering it. He said, I kept my promise. Almost 60 years. So that's getting more and more rare. And Dad also taught honor to mom and grandparents. Was he a perfect father? No. Sometimes he's pretty grouchy. Stubborn. You know, none of us kids followed in that. ask Jan. There's no stubbornness in our family. Stop with Dad. So, I'll repent later. So have I been a perfect father? And of course not. And none of us are, except God Himself. So let's celebrate the one who is the perfect father. He's the one we celebrate. And we honor Him with thanksgiving for giving us the grace and showing us what to do. And this year our church is committing to know God. And do you know Him as Father? Do you submit to His leadership? And I like the end of the video. How long is your shadow? Are you projecting that? And Carrie, I think I have a couple more in here. Oh, yeah. Hey, Earl. Oh, I'll throw it that far, it'll bounce off your wife's head. Whoops, he still missed it. I'm out, sorry.
Those were a little extra.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have gifts for the fathers up here afterwards, so don't run off. So how long is their shadow? Malachi 4:6, the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is just a paraphrase. The Lord of Heaven's armies desire is for the hearts of fathers to turn to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. See, it's not even noon, and I'm just going to pray a blessing on everybody, on the fathers. And you'll get out in time to visit your dad or whatever, or go to a restaurant and pretend he's there. But so for all the fathers here this morning, Lord, I pray your blessing upon them with even new understanding of the opportunities you've given them, Father, and that you would help them hear your voice even clearer, that you would help them walk out their purpose in front of their children, with their children, and impart to their children the things that you would have them do. It is such a blessed thing to be a father and see your children follow you. And it is such a blessed thing to see them learn to emulate that whenever they have children. So I thank you and praise you for the ones that you have allowed to become the father and of their family and the Christian leader, Lord, so that they know who you are, and they do, and that helps them know who they are. So we just bless them today in Jesus' name, and for all the future fathers, Lord, for the ones who haven't made it to that yet, that you would prepare their hearts and you would prepare their minds, that you would give them the desire to see that come to pass in their lives, Lord. That you would give them heroes. That you would help them discern the times and know what to do. Lord, that is so important in this day and age and in our nation. We lift up our nation to you this morning. And we say, help, Lord. Raise up leaders, Lord God. Raise them up. We need strong, godly men leading this nation, Lord. And we need your Holy Spirit influence in all the levels of society. So I'll just pray a general blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And whenever, and this is the book of Numbers, it says, whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. So as I bless, or Pastor Steve blesses this people, God himself stands behind that and blesses. So be blessed this morning. And if you're a dad, we have gifts up here. And if you're a future dad, whenever, I think we have plenty, so future dads can grab one too. But be blessed this morning. We thank you.